Welcome to the Maura Sweeney Podcast. Maura is an international speaker and the trademark ambassador of happiness with a passion for personal responsibility. She weaves insightful questions with personal stories to challenge your mindsets and empower your best and happiest self from the inside out. Here's Maura with today's podcast for you.
Are you ignorant? Well, if you're on a path to living happy from the inside out, today's podcast should definitely pique your curiosity and by the end of it, give you new ways to feel happier from the inside out. Today, I want to cover this topic about ignorance. Specifically, I want to look at two words, the word ignorant, and later we're going to look at the word ignoramus. But first, for a definition of ignorant, first would be this, a person without education or knowledge. So maybe this would be someone who never learned something in school, was never made aware of something. But number two struck me as a little bit more close to home. This refers to a person who is unaware or uninformed. So let's say people typically might think an ignorant person is someone who didn't go to school, maybe someone who is illiterate, someone who has difficulty communicating with others. But ignorant goes deeper than that. It's someone who is unaware or uninformed of a specific thing or maybe a multitude of things. And now let me go into the word ignoramus. Ignoramus is an ignorant person. A person who doesn't know, lacking education or knowledge, or someone who's unaware or uninformed. Both of these words, ignorant and ignoramus, come from the old French and Latin root ignore. Isn't that interesting? So we can actually be highly knowledgeable about certain things and yet be ignorant about others. Could be that we did it deliberately because we didn't want to know, or it could be that we were just ignoring something passively. Let me give you a few examples from my personal life as to where I learned along the way just how ignorant I was. And by the way, I don't say this in a negative way. I just say I didn't know. A first thought comes to mind when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. I was on a family trip and we had flown to one of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and driving in a taxi cab from the airport to the resort that we'd be staying at, I remember looking from the back seat of the car and I thought, oh, look at all these things. They were lean-tos and little huts. Now, I ascribed them to little kids' clubhouses because when I was growing up, I remember always trying to create my own little clubhouse in the backyard or in the cellar somewhere. And I must have uttered it aloud. And whether it was my parents or the taxi driver, they said, no, these are not little children's homes. This is how people live. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. I didn't know. See, I didn't know. But I took note of it in that minute. And my first thought was, I thought everybody lived in a house that was constructed or an apartment building, something that looked like it was formally constructed rather than put together by hand with maybe pieces of scrap metal. That was a big moment when I realized I was ignorant, in this case, unaware and uninformed about how people outside my bubble, outside my country, lived. Now, my next experience about being ignorant occurred 20 years ago. And this was very interesting. I was with my husband and daughter. We were traveling in Europe, and we happened to be at a train station in Switzerland where my husband was busy purchasing some train tickets to our next destination. And while I was waiting for him, I was drawn to a series of color brochures. I don't even know if they have them anymore, but these were the days of paper. And I thought, oh, these are unusual places. These are unfamiliar looking buildings, but they were very kind of spectacular in their appearance. I opened them up and I thought, wow, this is for the very affluent among society. These are very luxurious resorts. And I remember thinking, wow, how come I don't know about these places? Well, as I looked further, I realized there must have been a reason. These were very luxurious accommodations and hotels in Arab countries. Now, to tell you how ignorant I was 20 years ago, the only thing I remember seeing on the news, in the newspaper, seeing in magazines that had anything to do with the Middle East or even my own travels had to do with Israel. As far as I knew, people living in Arab countries might have been surrounded by sand. They might have been like the Bedouins, who I happened to see in Israel as well, which would be tribal or nomadic people riding on camels and living a very simple, I would say rustic life. Not westernized, certainly, but these images in these brochures shocked me, and I'll tell you why. My first thought was, why didn't I know this? How could I be so uninformed, unaware, and ignorant? Then my second thought was, why is it that I've never seen any of this on our TV news, in magazines, or in newspapers? Now again, think about this being 20 years ago, but I was extremely curious. And I always then decided I need to not rely only on the news, which is going to only give me apparently a few countries from which to view. I need to do some of my own research to learn a little bit more. And obviously I did. The most recent experience I had realizing just how ignorant I was last summer. My husband and I had visited several countries, one of which was Ukraine, and we had spent some time in three different cities in Ukraine, one of which was the capital city of Kiev, or as they refer to it as Kyiv. And we had walked around, we were in the public square, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, this is the capital city. We're in the public square, there were some beautiful buildings, and I kept thinking, why are all the stones in the street, let's say the walking areas, gone? It just seemed so unfinished to me, I didn't understand. Well, about a day or two later, I had a young woman offer me a local walking tour, and what she was sharing with me from that general area was the history, quite recently, of what had taken place there when there was a massacre of students and protesters right in the public square. And I think it was as recently as 2014. I know some of it made the news, but apparently either I was ignoring it or it wasn't penetrating with me until I arrived there myself. And as we're on the walking tour, the young woman who happened to be present during that massacre in 2014 responded to me in my question about the missing stones in the street. And she said they were the only means the protesters had to defend themselves from the mercenaries who were shooting at them with guns from every direction, including from up above on a hilltop hotel. And she said some people were totally unarmed. Well, she said they were all the protesters were totally unarmed. Some of them looked to hide behind trees to protect themselves from oncoming bullets, only to realize that there were some other mercenaries atop the hotel building behind them who were able to shoot them. She said it was very devastating, and surely it was. There were about 100 people who were shot and killed. Now, you know what struck me about that? Maybe I had read about it in the news, but maybe I only read part of it. Maybe I only heard part of it. But being there and listening to this one woman tell me, we don't have Second Amendment rights to arm ourselves here in Ukraine like you people do, or you citizens do in the United States, I suddenly saw things from a different angle. Now, I don't own a gun. I've never thought to have a gun. Not to say I didn't give it any thought, but it would not be something for me, and I wouldn't say that I had such a very strong feeling about it other than knowing it was a U.S. citizen's right. But in that experience, walking around the square, in the capital square in Kyiv, this is what happened to me. I realized just how ignorant, as in unaware and unknowing, I had been until I saw or was able to perceive a different scenario. Those stones that were missing from the street were being physically dug out and used to throw back as the only means possible that these protesters had to defend themselves. Now, I want you to think about the word defend. These were peaceful protesters. They didn't have guns, and yet they were being gunned down. And they were also surrounded, which was interesting. There was no way for them to get out. And suddenly I thought, wait a minute. Every time the news reports on the Second Amendment, why is it that we only hear about our Second Amendment rights being the rights of gun owners to hurt someone with their guns? Why were we never told, or why was it never expressed, and maybe why did I miss it, that that Second Amendment right was there just as much as a means of self-protection against others who maybe were trying to create physical harm, or in the case of those protesters in Kiev, actual death. And in that moment, I thought, wow, my resolve and my defense for our Second Amendment rights, and maybe any nation's Second Amendment rights for their citizenry, has just been increased as a result of something new that I learned that I, up until then, was unaware for, that being able to defend oneself is something that everyone should be able to do, especially when the government has overreached its bounds. Okay, so those are some examples of me and my life about being ignorant. And yet in each one of those cases, when sort of the light bulb goes on, or I see or learn something I didn't know before, it causes me to look at those things anew, to consider my previous thoughts and orientations anew, to maybe investigate and learn and ask more questions. In each case, in each event, each time I would learn something new, it would cause me to become maybe more aware, therefore less ignorant than before, about, in these cases, specific topics. So obviously, maybe there's a question for you in there. What kinds of things maybe have you been ignorant about? Maybe they're around you, but you never thought to look at them, to consider them, to question them, and to form maybe some new opinions or new awarenesses about them. Those are all things having to do with ignorance. And me, yours truly. Now, I want to go into a story that typifies or maybe picks up on the word ignoramus. Ignoramus. This too was going around my thoughts earlier this week. As I mentioned to you, the definition of an ignoramus would be an ignorant person. But I want to share with you the first time I ever heard the word expressed. Now, this was interesting. I don't even know if I knew the word ignorant back then when I was, let's say, 11 years old. That was the summer it took place. But I did learn something of the meaning of an ignoramus. And in this case, it was a negative connotation. So let me share this story. It was the summertime of my 11th year, so I was between 5th and 6th grade. I was 11, my brother was 9, and our home was situated right on a corner. The corner was in a flat area, but across the street from this corner was the rest of our street, and it went up a hill. There was a girl who was a classmate of mine, and I would say a sometime friend, and that particular summer, she had two of her out-of-state cousins spend a few weeks at the house. Now, the girl herself could be a little rough. She was kind of on the big side, a little tough, but her cousins, both of whom were girls, were bigger, stronger, and even tougher still. And a very interesting thing happened that summer during that two-week period of time, specifically within days of the girls arriving. They started coming down the street, no problem, and they would stay on the opposite street corner. So all that separated us was a regular city street in our town. So my girlfriend and her two big cousins, one of whom, again, was older and very much on a large frame, started taunting me and my younger brother. And I remember first I was very confused, like, I don't understand, why, what's the problem? Did I do something to make you mad? I could not figure it out. I don't think there was anything in particular that was done other than the fact that these girls were busy taunting, playing, threatening, and having a bullying nature. And I will tell you this, the bullying nature left unabated, continued to grow worse by the day. 3 days, I believe, had passed by. Each day, they taunted a little bit more. And I remember them saying, "We're going to come over there and we're going to beat you up." And trust me, I knew, given my size and their size, and the three of them, that they could have accomplished that feat. And my brother was younger than I was, very wiry at the time. So he too was smaller. And I remember one night in particular, I would tell this to my mother, to my father, like, "They're bothering us. They're saying they're going to beat us up." Now, up until now, they had not done anything, but I could feel the impending threat. And even though I had gone at home and at night over dinner table, I would tell my mother and father, they just ignored. Isn't that interesting? The word ignore, because that's the root word for ignorance. They were just ignoring me. But I knew that things were not good outside. Well, one evening, must have been after dinner, and it's summertime, so it's very bright. I'm right out in front of the house, and the girls are coming down the hill. But somebody new is coming down the hill. It is my classmate's father. Now, this man was a burly man, probably in his mid-30s at the time. He was a toughie. I mean, that's the only way to describe him. I know even from being at my girlfriend's house that things would change when the father would come home. He might have been described, let's say, as a hothead. He starts coming down the hill, the big man, and here we are as children. But in his arm and up in the air is a wooden bat. And I remember getting so frightened. I ran into the house, came in through the front door, into the kitchen. I said, "It's Mr. So-and-so," name protected. "He's got a bat and he's coming down our way." Now, surprisingly, neither my mother nor my father came out. I thought for sure they would come out. They would be a protecting force. They would ask this man what was going on, or previously they would have asked the kids, "What's going on? Let's get to the bottom of this, and this is not appropriate." But they still sat at the dining table. My grandmother was there, all of 5'2", and she was washing dishes. She took her dish rag, put it on her shoulder, and stormed right out the door, came down, walked right to the corner, just in time to meet the man with the bat who was coming down the hill like a heathen, like a bear. And I remember her with her hand in the air saying, "Who the hell do you think you are bothering these kids? Get back up the hill, you ignoramus. You should be ashamed of yourself." Now, I never forgot that word, ignoramus, because I thought, I never knew what that word was, but maybe this is a picture of an ignoramus. Now, if you can imagine a big burly man in his 30s, and my grandmother, who might have been late 50s, early 60s at the time, all of 5'2", blonde hair, probably with little high heel shoes on, who knows, at the time, and she was willing to come out and to address the man who was the ignorant one, or in this case, the ignoramus, to address his behavior, to have him look at his daughter and other children that were outside, and have him look again at himself carrying a weapon that could have taken somebody out, a big wooden bat, with a huge amount of anger to boot. I mean, it was definitely a bad situation. And somehow, my grandmother neutralized him. Not only did he put the bat down, but he ended up walking back up the hill, and the girls followed. That was my introduction to the word ignoramus. Now, I want to share with you something that came beyond it, is that I never again saw that man behave in such a manner publicly in our community. Number two, after my grandmother spoke up and that man went back home with his wooden baseball bat in hand, never again for the duration of that visit of those cousins did we have an event in our neighborhood. The man was, yes, an ignoramus, but I do believe at some level he picked up perhaps a level of awareness for being an adult, a responsible adult, an aware individual that could suddenly look around and think, What did my emotional state do to me to look like an absolute fool and to put myself into a place where I could have physically harmed children in my own neighborhood? We never had another event after that again that I remembered, but that was my introduction to the use of the word ignoramus and the fact that one man, because of one tiny woman's response, ended up being less ignorant as a result. Now, I don't know where you are today. I don't know your life experiences, but you know what you can do to make yourself feel a little bit happier, a little bit more empowered, a little bit more aware, and therefore a little less ignorant? It's just to ask yourself a simple question. Maybe when you get up in the morning or before you go to bed at night, is there something I should be aware of that I haven't been paying attention to? Let me do so. Let me learn. And let me be more of a light rather than an ignoramus. Well, I hope today gave you something interesting, thought-provoking, and more to think about in your life on your road to living happier from the inside out. Until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You.
For more insights on living happy from the inside out, subscribe to this podcast. To learn more about Maura, visit her MauraForYou.com website, where you'll find videos, blogs, books, and the Foundations of Happiness self-study e-course, Maura, number 4, letter U.com, where Maura is always for you.